It is written, and you shall find me when you seek after me with all of your heart, saith the Lord. I'm not making it hard for you, my children. I'm making it easy. The hard part is keeping your heart from the world, keeping your affections set on things above and not the things of the earth. But when you do, you will find me. I want us to pray tonight. I feel burdened. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. This is all about love tonight. Every person on this planet loves. Love is an operation in every single heart. And what we love the most will absolutely show forth in our values, our commitments. Amen. It's going to tell the tale, and God knows it is. We cannot serve two masters. It is impossible. For we will love one and not like the other one a little bit. We will love one. See, this is passion, one way or the other. There's no in between. We will love one and hate the other. Or we will hate one and love the other. So lay up your treasure where the thief can't steal it, the moth and the rust can't corrupt it. For where a man's treasure is, the heart will be also. That's a love story right there. Where our treasure is, our heart is going to follow. And the world is soliciting our love. Satan wants our love. And the Bible said to love not. He told us what not to love. Love not the world. He didn't talk about the earth. It's this system of self-indulgence. Can you say, man? This satanic system that people are willing to sell their soul for a little bit of pleasure for their flesh. There are people that will not give up their habits. They will not consider giving them up. They will not even think about it, pray about it. They do not want deliverance, nor do they seek it. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So the Lord's trying to make it easy. He says, I want your whole heart. I make no apology for calling you to a total commitment, because no other kind of commitment will hold, particularly in these days. Amen. So lay up your treasure where nothing can touch it, where it's safe. Because not only is your treasure safe, but your heart is safe as well. For where your treasure is, what? Your heart is going to be also. Keep your heart with all diligence. That's not just a matter of having a healthy introspect. It's a matter of having a value system that puts the things of God above the things of this old world. Can you say, man? The way to keep your heart is to keep your affection set on things above and not the things of the earth. We find the time, the energy, the money to fulfill fleshly pleasures, but we don't find any of that, amen, to fulfill a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And churches are trying to accommodate the flesh by making it entertaining to go to church. Just entertain. Just add another entertaining event to the many self-fulfilling felt needs that people have. And this experiment in getting them in, and maybe if we can just get them in the building by hook or crook, the means will justify the ends. We will get them to God. The problem is they're not coming to God. They're just going to church. And when they walk out those doors, they blend perfectly with the world's values. There's nothing that sets them apart. They're in it for what we can have in the immediate sense. And if the persecution really gets strong and heavy for following Jesus in America, you're going to be astounded at how many people, amen, there'll be a great exodus from many of the mega churches because they're promising them immediate felt needs to be met. And you take that away and only give them the cross in heaven. And people that don't have love for God are going to fall away. Amen. I really believe what's happening is a separating. This is a precursor to the coming of Christ. Amen. I want to draw closer to Him. I don't want to lower the standard. I don't want to have it lowered. I have no time for preaching that lowers the standard. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want somebody to point me toward heaven. Hallelujah. Because where a man's treasure is, that's where my heart's going to be. And I need help with my heart. I don't know about you. I need to keep it set. Hallelujah. We have a message for you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we have a burden for those, even in our own midst, that are falling away tonight. As they fall away, they will become willing agents of the devil because the devil will be able to use them. If my heart falls away, the devil will use me to be a stumbling block to others. And Lord, I pray that I may stay very close to you tonight. We pray for brethren tonight that need to get closer to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that something will happen in that life. Something will take place in that heart. Father, that this divided loyalty will stop because we cannot serve two masters. Oh Lord, that you may become the Lord of our life is our prayer tonight in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. I had to pray that prayer before we could go any further tonight. There's an assumption that everybody loves God because we go to church. That is a terribly wrong assumption. If a man loves the Lord, he will keep his commandments. And not only will he keep them, but he'll keep them with a joyous attitude. It won't be a burdensome thing to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? If a man love me, he will keep my commandments. I hate to start the covenantal message in a way tonight because I know there's not time to finish it. I feel deeply burdened for the church universal tonight, but particularly the church in America. God loves the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, according to Ephesians chapter 5. That's how God loves the church, and that's his design and desire for the church. But the church, in order to become that spotless bride, has to begin to despise the garment that is spotted by the flesh. If it's going to be a church without spot or wrinkle, then we're going to have to start talking about, preaching about, praying about, thinking about, and dealing effectively with the flesh. Right now, we've got financial contract ministries that every need of your life and your family and your future is met simply by a financial contract. Amen. God has a lot more going on for the church than just a seed for the need. There is an element of truth in that. Give and it shall be given. Is sowing a seed. When you have a need, you don't hold back. You give. But people have got on that and found it very lucrative to stay on that. There's more that God has to say to the... Listen, if Jesus' coming is this close, I think somebody ought to be preaching and proclaiming the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just harping on the fact that if you give, it's going to be given to you. It sounds like a record. My grandmother had one of these old, and I wish somebody stole it, but it was up in the attic. And it was one of these old Victrolas, they call them. And you wind it up like this, and it had a needle that's a big, thick, sharp thing. And it was 78 RPM records. Amen. And I used to go upstairs, and when I was a child all the way until I was a young man, and I used to go up in that attic, crank that thing up, and put on those old 78 RPM records and listen to stuff that people listened to back in the late 20s and early 30s. And it was really a trip. It was neat to listen to all of that. The problem is that some of the records were so worn, that groove that needle went down in had worn and got so deep in certain areas that the needle didn't want to jump over when it came to the end of the track. And so they would, the song would be going really good, and then it would get stuck, you know. I love you with all of my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart, my heart. And then you, all you had to do is just kick it. Amen. Just bump it, make it jump over. You don't know how many times, if I hadn't paid so much for my TV, that I didn't just want to go up and hope if I just kicked it, it would jump over. Because I know kicking whoever's preaching wouldn't do any good. Amen. Because right now they're on top of the world. But it's not going to last.
That's right.
Can you say amen? It's not going to last. You say, Brother Venable, why does God allow it? Why don't he just bring the hammer down? Because they're serving a purpose. God tested his people in the Old Testament. And you know how he did it? He said, if somebody comes and prophesies a thing, and the thing they prophesy come to pass. All right, where do you go from there? Does that prove truth? Does that deserve our commitment and our following? That's Old Testament. God said, this false prophet serves my purpose without realizing it. Hello? If you want to know why God don't bring the hammer down, boy, it's a good thing I'm not the Lord. I bring the hammer down. But then I need mercy, so I pray for these folks. Some of them are riding such a high, they're not about to change. When PTL was at its pinnacle, no one could have gotten through to Jim Baker. The people that tried to were flatly rejected. The warning signs were rejected. This is his own testimony. I'm not downing Jim. I'm glad for his reclamation, and I'm glad there is redemption and restoration in God tonight. But he said, there were people that told me, you can't keep doing this. And he told them to hush, that they were witnessing the miracle of the fish and loaves. Amen. He thought, this will never stop. It must be God, because the money keeps rolling in. There was so much money rolling in. They called PTL, which meant praise the Lord. Amen. They called it Pass the Loot in Charlotte. Because of the pull that was constant out there. And they looked at it as a commercial thing after a while, when they was touting the fact that the attendance there was beating Knott's Berry Farm and beginning to rival Six Flags Over Georgia. And they had it in mind to outdo Disney World, but God was not interested in building a Disney World for Christians. The last thing we need is more entertainment. We need something for our souls. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Desperately in need for something for our souls tonight. Praise God. If you like soul food tonight, how many like soul food? How many even? Honey, you're in the right church, because we got something for your spirit, man, to feast on tonight in the Word of God. Hallelujah. We have our thing, our mind on things above and not the things beneath. Maranatha is our byword here. We long for our Lord to come. Our hearts are set on things above, not things beneath. I am not even thinking, amen, about what God may owe me for my lifetime of preaching, what he may owe me in terms of the material world. I have a home. The roof has been replaced. Praise God. It doesn't drip on my head. Hallelujah. Amen. The air conditioner's been replaced, and now it cools and heats me. I'm so glad to have cooling and heating and a roof that doesn't leak. Praise God. Amen. God doesn't owe me a bigger home or a better home before I leave this world. Amen. If I someday have one, I could appreciate it and enjoy it. But I don't have to have it to be happy or to serve the Lord or to have his joy in my heart, because my heart is set on things above and not the things beneath. Amen. Listen, it only takes just, we're on such a precipice where we're living in terms of the world condition. Amen. Events could take place to change everything. Nations, God said that I make kings rich, and I lift them up and I establish them. And you know what else he does? In his sovereign kingly rule over the universe and the earth, he said, I can make them rich and I can bring them to the ground. Hallelujah. It's all within my power and my hand to do that. Everything ultimately, you don't hear me tonight, everything ultimately will serve His purpose. Because He's able, because of His sovereign rule and divine authority, to subdue everything to His own will and purpose. Can you say amen? Satan comes to tempt us. God said, I can use that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I can use that. I can develop my people, not by keeping them from temptation, but by taking them through it in victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But God is faithful. Listen at Him. Listen at Him in His sovereign rule over the universe and over our lives. Can you say amen? But God is able. But God is faithful. Literally, the word faithful means faithful and able. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that, that you individually, personally, are able to bear. Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. James talked about letting wisdom have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cooperate with God. Listen, if a prophet prophesies and what he prophesies come to pass, and it causes you to do despite what I've told you in my word, he said, no, the Lord will try thee. It's a test to see how committed we are to His word, or whether we're just going to follow that that satisfies us, titillates us, tells us what we want to hear. Can you say amen? God finds out through allowing these things to exist. False prophets serve a purpose. Amen? The Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Who are they going to listen to? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Why does He allow that to exist? Because He already knows the heart. But we discover what's in our own heart. Can you say amen? The Bible said in the last days, what are men going to do? Heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Amen. People will follow that gives them what they want to hear. Can you say amen? And God said, that's why I allow this. That's why I permit it. Don't you think God could put a stop to all this if He chose to? Can you say amen? But He lets us discover what's truly in our heart. You know what's happening right now? The sifting has already begun. I really believe the sifting has already begun. Can you say amen? Denominations are turning from the Word of God, reinterpreting the Bible to be politically correct and culturally relevant to the culture. We are allowing people to stand in pulpits that God called their sins an abomination to Him. Amen. He said it in the Old Testament. He reiterated in the New Testament under grace. And we ordain them to some of the highest offices of ministry today. We are in the great falling away. But we're also in the time that Jesus said, when you see it, and we're seeing it. I didn't really think I would see it get this bad when I first got saved, because my pastor preached the soon coming of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't even let us sing, I'm getting ready to leave this world. We'd start singing, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my records bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready. He stopped us in the middle of the song. He said, you ain't going to have time to get ready when Jesus comes. You better be ready. Be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. So we had to change the song if we were going to sing it anymore. We sing, I am ready to leave this world. I am ready for the gates of pearl. Because our pastor said, you can't be almost committed. You've got to be totally committed to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And to they that look, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Can you say amen? If a prophet come and he prophesy a thing and it come to pass, but he tells you other things, that is despite what is contained in the word, the scripture, God will test you, He said, to see whether you'll really follow me or not. Test He continues this testing process. God took a prophet down, and he said, I want to show you that Israel can actually follow me. Because there are people committed enough to their earthly commitments. Amen. To keep them. He wanted the prophet to know, my judgments are not inordinate. Because man can keep a commitment if he wants to. It's not that he can't. It's because he won't commit deep enough. And if he can keep them to people, he ought to be able to keep them to his God. So he said, the Bible called them the Rechabites. There was a daddy in a family that forbid his children to ever take a sip of wine for the longest day they live. He told the prophet, he said, I want you to go down and offer these boys a sip of wine. And so he goes down and he's a prophet. And he says, here, have a sip of wine. He said, no, no way. We promised our father that we would never do it. And we're going to keep our commitment. A prophet had said, it's okay, go ahead. They said, yeah, but our daddy, we made a promise to our dad. It's not whether it's okay or not. If I break a promise, it's not okay. See, we're not pushing the envelope to see how far we can go and still claim to be a follower of Jesus. Listen to me. There's so many things that are okay in the world that isn't okay with God. There's so many things that is okay in the church. But you'll never have God tell you it's okay. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If God don't say it's okay, you'll never hear me tell you it's okay. Can you say amen? When the day comes that we can't tell you what God said in his church, and when his people won't hear it, we're in the falling away, Dale. And I believe we're in the falling away. We need a clear word from the Lord. The Bible said iniquity would abound, and because of it, the love of many would wax cold, because false prophets would go out into the earth. They're serving a purpose. God is finding out where the heart really rests. Can you say amen? And he's exposing that so that we can see it for ourselves. I'm glad this is a straight gate. I'm glad it's a narrow way. I'm glad it's not a 4-lane, 6-lane highway with a bunch of exits and clover leaves. Can you say amen? I'm glad it's straight as an arrow. And I'm glad if you veer to the right, you feel yourself leading off into the ditch. If you veer to the left, you feel yourself leading off into the left. I'm glad it takes your absolute focus to stay on the King's highway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know why? Because it lets you know if you're getting into error. Amen. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a wide gate that accommodates everybody and everything, but it is not the King's highway. Can you say amen? The King's highway is straight. The King's highway is narrow. And I'm not talking about straight in terms of a straight line on a road. I'm talking about it is straight in the sense that on his highway you're going to meet resistance. You have to be committed to travel this highway. You go against the grain to travel this highway. You're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. And straight is the way. Tight, pressurized. But he goes before us. Can you say amen? And he gives us grace and he gives us strength. And if you dare to walk this pathway, amen, you're going to find the way that leads to life eternal. By the way, if it's a done deal, it don't matter what road you're on. All of them will lead you there. God requires a commitment. Can you say amen? God requires a commitment. He said, I let false prophets exist because the true and the false are divided. Listen, my sheep, I love this about the Lord, and I love Philip Keller's book about shepherding. My sheep know my voice. Stranger, they will not follow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not astounding to me to see so many false prophets in the world. What takes me back is to see so many people following them. Can you say amen? The Bible said they would come on the scene. But I didn't expect to see so many people that claim to be followers of Christ follow them instead of Him. Can you say me? They misrepresent Him. They misinterpret Him in the Word of God. They don't even follow His example in their own life. And yet people follow them. Can you say amen? People want to emulate them because they have become rich and powerful. They live a self-indulgent life. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, the first thing you're going to have to deal with is the self-indulgent tendencies of your flesh. You've got to deny yourself before you will ever even consider taking up your cross. And if you don't take up your cross, you can't follow me. You can't be my disciple if you love anyone or anything more than me. We accommodate love for the world. We accommodate in the church love for the things of the world. Amen. When the Bible clearly declares you can't serve two masters, we're telling people, oh, yes, you can. God says, oh, no, you can't. And guess who people are choosing to listen to? The people who say it's okay. It's okay. One leader of a church that has allowed abomination in it said, we don't want to use the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It sounds a little too religious. And came up with this other term for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's kind of the breaking down of the holy, the stripping away of truth. I mean, you got to really start stripping away layers of truth to get some of this other stuff in. And one of the ministers in that denomination had to make a decision whether to stay in with the retirement and all the other things and the years invested or pull out. And he decided to pull out. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Amen. Listen, this message to just tear down all walls is not a true message. Amen. Unity. When we're compromising the faith is not the unity God has called us to. You don't give up the faith in the name of brotherly love. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Amen. If there's another way to heaven, then let's tell people about it. But if Jesus is the only way, let's stick by that truth. Because souls are on the line tonight. Can you say amen? And the embrace of the world isn't worth those precious souls going to hell because we didn't tell them the truth. Money to build great edifices to our success is not what this is about tonight. Amen. Preachers are going to stand before God and account for the Sundays that they had the opportunity and the platform and the influence to tell people the truth, and they wouldn't do it because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And you take them out of a pulpit setting and put them in a private public setting, and they're like a chameleon. In Florida, we have chameleons, don't we? We call them chameleons. They're those lizards that can blend in with their background. Put them on a green leaf, and what color do they turn? Green. But put them on a brown leaf, what color do they turn? Brown. Put them on a plaid leaf, a piece of plaid. They blow a gasket, I guess. I don't know what they do. We've got people that you put them in a pulpit setting, they're sold out to God. You put them out in the public arena, and they push that into the background. You think that they are preachers of and followers of Jesus Christ till you put them on television, on some of the talk shows, and they won't stand up for God because they do not want people to push them away. They're in it for the embrace of the world. And they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You say, well, they just didn't know any better. Honey, if a man don't know better, if a woman don't know better, they ought to stay away from the pulpit. Because if you're going to stand in front of a pulpit, in front of people, hey man, God's going to hold you accountable for everything you tell them. And God's not only going to hold you accountable for what you tell them, God's going to hold us accountable for what we don't tell them. The book of Ezekiel said, if son of man, I've made thee a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you warn my people and they listen, you've delivered your soul. You're not accountable. They've heard the truth. They've obeyed the truth. God's deliverance will come to them and you. But if you see the enemy coming and you don't tell my people and they're destroyed, their blood will I require at your hand. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeshua. That Paul knew it. He knew it by heart. He was a scholar of the scriptures. Can you say amen? He was part of the Sanhedrin. He had read that time and time again. And when God called him to be an apostle, he told the whole truth to the church. Can you say amen? And he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Not just the faith parts, the healing parts, the deliverance parts, but all of the rest of it, the judgments, the corrections. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 is a two-sided coin. There's a blessing for obedience. There's a curse for disobedience. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Very, very careful. The Bible said in the New Testament, it's a two-sided coin. Amen. Behold, the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness, because he's grafted you in as Gentiles. Severity, because he cut his own people off when they walked in rebellion. Don't boast yourself against that true vine. Don't abuse grace. Don't use grace to cover up for a sin-filled, sinful heart. That's not what grace is for. If a prophet prophesy a thing and it come to pass, and that same prophet causes you to do despite what the word of God that's been established already says, it says, know that your God will try you to see where your heart truly is. There are so many people that follow any flash in the pan thing that's called revival today. Can you say, man? They run after false prophets. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It said the prophets of old prophesied by their means, not by God's true anointing, but by their own means. They knew what the people wanted. They delivered it to them. And he said, and my people love to have it that way. They want it like that. They want it like that. He said, now what is going to be the end of these things? When the judgments fall in the land, the people cry in peace. And there's no real peace except we truly repent and get right with God. Amen? We've had 10 years of breakthroughs coming. When a real breakthrough comes, there's going to be repentance in America. And until there's repentance, a breakthrough hasn't come and isn't coming. A breakup is coming if we're not careful. Leonard Ravenhill, British preacher with a passion for God and seeing what was happening to America that once was a mighty beacon for God, said America has been blessed so wonderfully, so greatly. America has been cursed with blessings. See, if we don't know how to handle blessings, blessings can cause us to come under the judgment of God. The Bible said one of the tests that God allows is when he allows us to be blessed. Listen to this in the Old Testament. You know, let me finish what he said. He said America's been cursed with blessings, and if she doesn't repent, amen, she's going to be blessed with cursings. If it leads us to pride and self-sufficiency, if it leads us to self-indulgence instead of self-denial, and I don't mean giving up something and being empty. I mean getting rid of the things of the flesh so we can be filled with the true things of God. Amen. When God fulfills you, you won't have to have something in the world. When the church is in competition, the church shouldn't have to compete with the world to get people out of the world and into God's house on Sunday. The cross ought to separate us to this world and separate the world unto us. We think we're doing a big deal when we've won out over Sunday night television, when we win out over Sunday events, And people find that they can make it to God's house because there's something going on there worth seeing too. Honey, that's not the reason to come to church, because we outperform the world. God did not want another Disney World. He did not want a Knott's Berry Farm. Can you say amen? The church is different. It's not for entertainment value. Can you say amen? Mushalabakisa letarabarosha labadite ikanamo. False prophets fulfill, amen, a purpose in God. Because my sheep, amen, see, the gleaning is taking place. The separating has begun. My sheep know my voice. Can you say amen? And a stranger they will not follow. Well, who is following these people? Dedicated Christians? Honey, dedicated Christians don't just listen to the evangelist or the preacher. Dedicated Christians read that book. People who love God are not just in it for the immediate gratification that God can give through a blessing. They're in it for something eternal and lasting. Real Christians are not afraid to take up their cross and follow Jesus Christ. But there's a phony church and there's a phony Christian. And real ministers are deeply concerned about what they're seeing in their congregations. And why should someone come to a church that teaches you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him? And by the way, as I endeavor to do that, I am not an unhappy camper. He fills that place in my life that people are trying to fill with all the things of this world and can't do it. Amen? Some people in marriages are looking for something in their marriage. What they need is something from God so they can be happy with what they have. Being the right person is more important than finding the right person. Thank you for the hearty amens. People think if my wife was like this or my husband was that, well, if you were just satisfied in Jesus, maybe your demand on that person wouldn't be so great. You're trying to make them take God's place in your life. Amen. It's my understanding and biblically supported that only God can fulfill that void in the human heart. Can you say amen? That's what the woman at the well discovered, wasn't it? Amen. She'd been through 5 husbands, give up on marriage itself, and said, nothing's going to be lasting. I can never find what fulfills me. I'm just going to live with this guy, and when he takes off, I'll find me another guy. I'll keep searching but never find what I'm looking for. Jesus said, if you would ask of me, if you knew who it was that said unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you something better. You're going to come back to this well over and over again with a thirst that's going to arise again and again and again. But I'll give you living water and you will never thirst again. She said, Lord, give me this water. Give me this water. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If the church of Jesus Christ starts drinking what God has provided, the living water of the Holy Spirit, till our spirit is full and running over, can you say amen? And then the world comes and beckons to us and offers us something to fulfill us. We say, why in the world would I want to give up this well within my soul, amen, for that junk that's going to pass away and lead me to sin? Why would I want to trade this for that joy unspeakable, for that momentary pleasure of the flesh? You got to be kidding, devil. Pack it up and take it back to hell with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gotta be kidding. Who do you think you're fooling? You offered Jesus, took him to a pinnacle, showed him the kingdoms of this world, and said, if you'll fall down and worship me, all of this can be yours. He just didn't get it. Can you say amen? God was always astounded at how people would trade the eternal for the temporal. And I don't just mean going to heaven. I'm talking about the joy unspeakable, full of glory. The average Christian today is looking for something that the same thing the world is looking for to satisfy. 7 of the richest men in the world, not the richest in terms, I know you can go to the Guinness Book and all that, but they were among those elite, above millionaire status. When the stock market first crashed here, the economic condition of the world, seven men. And it didn't make but little bitty snippets in the news. But in a 6 month period, seven men with everything took their own life. When Enron failed, one of the top executives of Enron left his mansion, his family, pulled up to a stoplight in his community, pulled a gun from the glove compartment, blew his brains out, his car idling in park, and a man had blown his brains out because without the stuff, he had no reason to live. That's called the deceitfulness of riches. It promises something that it can't deliver. And what it promises is that if you have all of this, you will be fulfilled and you will be happy. Riches tells you, I can give you happiness. Satan said, showed him what he could possess, that you can hold in your hand. Amen. And Jesus said, no way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why would, oh no, church, we got to get, we're trying to blend it. We're trying to blend this thing. Can you see? We used to sing in my early days as a Christian back in the day, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. If it costs me, amen, to follow him, it's worth it. There's no comparing what he offers me with anything the world can give me. Can you say, man? There's nothing. I'm not telling you my flesh hasn't had longings. I'm not telling you you won't have yearnings. I'm telling you if you will step back from it and really assess it biblically, you will see it's not worth it. Amen. Can you say, man? It's not worth it. And when the church tries to blend it to make the gospel compatible with a self-indulgent world, then we are not preaching the gospel that Jesus preached. He never compromised that issue because he said this is a matter of your heart. One or the other is going to hold your heart affection. Amen. There's not going to be no one that doesn't passionately love. You're going to passionately love this world and yourself, or you're going to passionately love Christ and his kingdom. But you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to hate one and love the other. We can't blend it. And is God making it tough? No, he's making it easy. The way of the transgressor is hard. You know, when this thing gets easy, it's not easy on the flesh. The flesh is always going to scream and cry and kick and holler. Amen. When you don't let it have its way. But when God starts filling your honey bucket up. Oh, yeah, you got a honey bucket, whether you know it or not. Oh, yes, there is. Amen. You got a honey bucket inside of you that God can fill up with the sweetness of Jesus. And when it fills up and pour in that living water, praise God, hallelujah. When you start feasting on the things above, amen, listen to this. We used to sing that camp meeting song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And to his chosen he calleth now, come and dine. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Because you can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned the water in the wine. To the hungry. Hallelujah. Calleth now, come and dine. Oh, if I had a dinner bell, I'd ring it. If I had one of those triangles like they had on the ranches, I'd turn that triangle on Sunday morning and say, we're not after everybody. The world has a lot of people, and they're looking for a church to give them a little quick fix so they can get back into the world that they love. But, oh, the hungry, amen, people that are hungry, blessed, happy to be envied are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! And before the filling with the Spirit and the filling with the joy and the filling with the peace, the context of that is neither of those. It's righteousness. When the church gets, oh, everybody's hungry to be blessed. Everybody's hungry to be healed. Jesus fed people. Amen. Turn the water into wine. The wedding feast of Cana. Work the miracle of the fish and loaves on the Sermon on the Mount. And people followed him for the fish and loaves. They say, we can't wait until he sets another physical table for our physical bodies. And he said if it wasn't for the fish and loaves, they wouldn't be here. And honey, there's a lot of churches today, if it wasn't for the fish and loaf ministry. Can you say, man, that is to titillate, entertain the flesh, and give instant gratification of the flesh? They simply would not be there. Can you say, man? But oh, there are those that are of a different ilk. There are those that said, I am not satisfied with the big show. I am not satisfied with the great choir. I'm not even satisfied with good preaching. David said, I'm like a man in the desert. Amen. I'm like a man dying of thirst. But I'm not just thirsty for water out here. Amen. I'm thirsty for the living God. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. My soul pants after the living God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He wrote in his Psalms, open thy mouth wide, and God says, I will fill it. Demonstrate to me that you're hungry for me. Amen. And I will visit you, and I will fill you, and I will fill you with something on the inside that helps you say no to all these offers on the outside. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad my wife knows Jesus. Otherwise, she would expect me to fill that place in her. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I can't do it. And I'm going to tell you straight up, Brad Pitt couldn't do it. And Tom Cruise couldn't do it. She used to have a crush on Sal Mineo. He wouldn't have married her because he was gay. I remember when gay meant happy. I remember that far back. I'm glad I didn't have to compete with Sal Mineo. Who's the lady in here? Your grandma? I asked who people had a crush on. People were hollering out who they had a crush on. His grandma hollered out, Engelbert Humperdinck. Now, we're going back in the day now. Hallelujah. Engelbert Humperdinck. Mercy. Pray for your granny. Amen. No, he's a handsome man. Sung some hit songs. Listen, when people don't have this God vacuum filled with God, when they're not drinking living water, they're just going to church, the world's going to win over and over again. The church is desperately trying to compete with the world. The church shouldn't have to compete with the world. Can you say amen? You know why? Because his sheep know his voice. They're interested in his word. They're not just interested in the entertainment. They're interested in his word. Can you say amen? I went to a church that held 10,000 people to visit. 10,000 people. But there was only about 3,000 coming. Oh, what a pitiful sight. To see a church big enough for 10,000 and only 3,000. And you know what really made it bad? Because since you couldn't see the preacher from the back, they had this big screen so the preacher could come up on the screen. It's like watching television. You're there, but you have to watch the screen because you can't even see what the preacher hardly looks like from way back there. So he's up on this big screen. And so the people had scattered out in this building, and many of them were sitting way in the back. And so the pastor had said the week before, obviously, because of what was said the week I went, let's everybody come down front and let's get together. It's kind of hard when everybody's scattered all over the building. Let's come down front. Let's kind of squeeze in and let's fill these rows right here so we can minister here. And, you know, he knows who's listening and who isn't. And they know if they're listening or not. But people were so used to being spectators instead of participators because the great choir sung a great song. Amen. And the great preacher was on the great big, what do you call it? Can you say, man, the screen? And they were used to sitting way back there with their arms crossed. Amen. All you needed was some popcorn and peanuts and Coca-Cola's. Why not? They're there for the show. Because if you're there for God, you don't want to be sitting way off. You want to get up close. You want to hang on his word. You want to participate in his worship, not just watch the praise team. We can make it look so good, can't we? I don't have any problem with banners. I saw some Jewish dancers. Yeah, actually, they were from Missouri. I think it was Missouri. But I saw it on YouTube, and there were these people doing traditional Jewish dances to contemporary Christian praise. Whoa! I mean, they didn't do the crazy stuff. They were doing the traditional Jewish stuff. And I watched that, and my heart began to kind of beat faster. I saw those ancient dances before the Lord, you know, taking place, and they were good at it. And they were not even Jews according to the lineage, but Jews after the circumcision of the heart. They were Christians doing these Jewish dances to one of these wonderful praise and adoration songs, and the men were dancing before the Lord, and the women were dancing, and they were doing the twirl stuff. Amen. They had on blue and white, you know, the men blue shirts and white pants, and the women had long blue robes with blue, white robes with blue over it, and they began to dance before the Lord, and the joy was present. I thought, man, I could get involved in that. I could get down in the middle of that. But there are people that will sit back. Amen. Always sit back. And they like the show. Listen. They came to hear Ezekiel the same way. Amen. God won't buy it. God requires more. Can you say amen? We're so happy just to have heads in the building, money in the offering. But God says, I require a lot more than a building being full, the offering being good. I require more out of my people. Can you say amen? When they're exposed to my word, I require a whole lot more than the average ministry out here is required. We're happy to have them in the building. We don't want to upset them because they got a lot of options. One thing about it, if you commit to follow Jesus, you lose all your options. He takes away your options. He had a big crowd together and said, if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, in other words, if you don't come into a committed covenant relationship with me, you have no part with me. And you know what they did? They got up and walked out on him. Somebody needs to send him a tape of how to build a mega church. What is wrong with him? He finally gets them together and he lays this hard stuff on them. What is wrong with Jesus? Don't he know how to preach? Hasn't he had a course in Norman Vincent Peale's, you know, what is it? Hasn't he read that book? Doesn't he know how to treat people? How to, amen? Amen? How to win friends and influence people. This guy just ran off a crowd that could have built him a church. He does the same thing on the shores of Galilee. 5,000 people come out to hear him preach. He pushes out from the shore in a boat because the wind coming off the sea will carry the sound waves. Amen. Hallelujah. So that all 5,000 can hear him without amplification. He's got all of those people. And he says, if any one of you want to come and follow me and love father more than me or mother more than me or brother or sister more than me or husband or wife more than me or house or land, everybody say anybody or anything. You can't be my disciple. He always does it, doesn't he? Can you say amen? He lays it on the line. I preach what he preached. And they say, oh, it's too hard. Venable preaches hard. I never considered myself to be a hard preacher. I consider myself to be a truth preacher. Can you say amen? And when the truth is hard to bear because Christians don't want to hear it, that's not my fault, church. Can you say amen? The day we can't preach what Jesus preached, the church is in trouble. The day we don't want to hear what our Lord and Master has to say. I didn't write this book. I happen to agree with it because it helps me nail that old flesh to the cross. It nails me so I can nail the flesh. Amen? Amen? If you don't get nailed at church sometime, you're in the wrong church. Amen? Because how are you going to deal with that old flesh if no one doesn't confront you and challenge you? I have preached myself into more altars, Dale. I preached messages I had to go home just wilt before the Lord. and said, Lord, what I preached tonight wasn't just for them. It hit me square between the eyes. But it's your word and I want it. Amen. I want it. I want it. I want to crucify the flesh with the lust thereof. Amen. I've seen too many wrecked marriages. Mine is not, listen, this is not Prince Charming and Sleeping Beauty. Amen. That goes off to the castle on the white steed. Amen. This is two people that live in the crucible of life, in the real world with all of its pressures. Amen. But listen to me. Amen. We love the Lord. I'm so glad Pamela loves God. Amen. Because that's our safety of our marriage. The safety of our relationship is her love for Christ and my love for Christ. Because I do not ask Pamela to take his place, to be more than she is. She doesn't ask of me to be more than I am. Hallelujah. Thank God I have that. I'm not in competition with the world for her heart. I'm not in competition for some handsome young man. It's so good. Amen. To have someone committed in vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Can you say amen? Oh, that's precious to me. But if Pamela falls away from God, then the world, there would be an emptiness that only he can fill. And the world's going to offer something or someone. The devil never ceases to exploit those falling away time. We can't afford, amen, the lukewarmness. We can't afford anything less than the white hot love for God. Anything less is going to set us up for defeat. How many know that tonight? Telling you the truth. Been a pastor too long, saw it happen to too many people. I'm not impressed anymore. I love to see it. I'm not impressed with an altar service. What I'm impressed with is when somebody gets up from that altar, goes out that door, and follows Jesus. If they don't follow Jesus when they get out that door, they didn't do business with God at this altar. Because his sheep know his voice. And it's sweet. I read Philip Keller's book and several others about shepherding. And what would happen is maybe three shepherds would bring three flocks in sequence, but they'd end up at one watering place at the same time. And all of those sheep would blend together, and you couldn't tell one from the other. But the first shepherd that got there would be the first one to leave, generally speaking. He would walk out a distance from the well where all the sheep were gathered. And every shepherd had a particular, peculiar call, so that no two shepherds' call was exactly alike. And it might just be, yip, 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 yip. Yay, 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 yay. La, 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 la. And to us, it was gibberish. But the sheep knew. And when they heard the particular, and if it wasn't the call of, and it wasn't just the la, la, la's. You know what it was? It was the tone of the voice itself. Are you hearing me? They could tell me what the call was and I could practice it. And I could mimic the call, but not the voice. Can you say amen? God wants you so close to him that you hear his voice. Can you say amen? He that hath an ear, he that hath a heart to obey. Everybody say a heart to obey. He that hath a heart to obey. Amen. He that hath an ear. Because only those with a heart to obey will listen. Can you say amen? But he that has a heart to obey has an ear that can hear. Praise God. Listen to me tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. There's got to be a point of departure when it's no longer whether or not that preacher says is something worth me taking to heart and obeying. But it has to go beyond what I'm saying. But is it the Word of God? And is the Word of God the voice of your God speaking to you? Can you say amen? And if it is, do you truly belong to him? Are you one of his sheep? Can you say amen? When that shepherd gave that peculiar, particular call, his sheep and only his sheep begin to move out from all of those sheep standing there. And they marched up the hill with their shepherd and went with him. And all the rest of them stood there till the next shepherd gave his peculiar call. One thing is for sure, a stranger couldn't budge them. Can you say amen? I'm telling you something about the true church. Amen. The true church is going to be unbudged. The true church will not compromise. If you have to leave a family line of people, amen, in a denomination to follow the truth, if you're the true church, you'll come out from among them. Can you say amen? Commit yourself to follow your master, who is Jesus, not a pontiff, not a pope, not a preacher, nor an apostle, nor an evangelist. It's Jesus. Can you say amen? Not a denomination, but it's Jesus. My sheep know my voice. Stranger, they will not follow. So he separates his sheep because he calls. And they either follow him because they're committed to him, they hear and heed his voice, or they reject him and follow the false leaders. He said the false leaders serve a purpose because they have effectively separated sheep from the goat. The true church from the false. Amen? Why would God let that guy? Let me give you one more instance in the Word. God tests us by allowing these things to exist. That's why you're to keep your heart with all diligence. You can't put it out there on the open market. Amen? Communion table is not where you come to make deals with God. It's where you come to agree to unconditional surrender. Can you say amen? God, I'll serve you if you'll do this. No, God, I'll serve you no matter what happens. That's what he's looking for. God, I'll serve you if you'll make me rich. God, I'll serve you if you'll make me famous. God, I'll serve you if you'll heal my body. No, God, I'll serve you because you gave your son for me. Can you say amen? Because eternity is offered me over this temporal world and this temporal body. God, I'll serve you because you're worthy. God, I'll serve you because of your mercy. I'm not going to hell. Oh, God, you're worth my everything. Can you say amen? If you never give me another dime, I'll serve you. In fact, if it costs me my job, I'll serve you. If it costs me my freedom, amen, and they put me in jail, I'll serve you. Can you say amen? If it costs me my friends, you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'd rather have you, like we sang in the song. Can you say amen? I'd rather have you. Amen. I'd rather have you than that relationship with that girl. I'd rather have you than that relationship with that guy. We need more than youth groups going on trips. We need young people that follow Christ. They don't ever learn to follow Jesus, they're going to follow the world just as soon as they get out from under your thumb. And they want to get out from under your thumb. Make no mistake about it. But we got the head count. We got the head count. My son went to Christian school. He knew it from the inside. I advise people, if you got the option, send them to a Christian school. Something might stick if they got a heart for God. But let me tell you something, if they ain't got a heart for God, Christian school ain't going to change nothing. Amen? Come on. Hey, let me lay something else on. If you don't have a heart for God, nothing that happens here is going to change anything. The word's going to roll off you like water off a duck's back. It's not going to take root. It's not going to grow. You'll fall away in spite of yourself. Amen. Josh McDowell was talking to university students and pastors that had come together. He has a great ministry to young people. Josh McDowell was talking about statistics when they passed out several thousand pamphlets. You didn't have to sign it, you just had check marks. Am I having illicit sexual relationships with my boyfriend or girlfriend? And you check yes or no. You don't sign it, so nobody knows who's checked what. So you're really getting an honesty in the result. And in one particular school, over 60% of the people in the school were having, you know, premarital sex with their partners. And everybody was not shocked by that because we know how the world is. But what shocked them was when he told them it was a Christian school. Christian school. Pastors are lamenting. One minister about 3 weeks ago on Moody Radio talked about Paul. He talked about afflictions he'd been through. He went down this litany of afflictions he'd been through. And he said there's one thing that is not ever so often like the beatings and the whippings and the shipwrecks and the stonings and the incarcerations. He said that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And it wasn't just the administrative burden of being an apostle. It was the fact that he was already witnessing people falling away from truth. He was already seeing people that would name the name of Jesus and not follow through. And it was breaking his heart. I sat at a pastor's meeting across from another pastor and I said, I'm glad your heart is broken. I'm glad you care. You want to see your people follow Christ. It's not enough to make it to retirement. It's not enough just to get enough salary to meet your financial needs. God has called us to make disciples. Can you say amen of all nations? Not just church members, not just givers, praise God, but disciples. And true men of God have broken hearts when they don't see people follow Jesus Christ when they walk out the doors. That's a broken heart that is a sign of a true pastor. Because the hireling don't care as long as he packs his pocket. I had a guy come to me this morning. God manifested himself in a healing in this room. And my, we had church. Didn't we have church this morning? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And a guy came to me after the service. Gentleman that came with you said he just saw something somewhere where they had a big billboard of a wallet. And they had a sign similar to ours over that wallet. He said, how can they do that? Amen. And I could tell him just like that. They that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I don't care what else they've got to say. You don't associate the greatness of God with what he can put in your wallet, but what he can do in your life and your heart and your eternal soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world is just like that. But they that are of the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Man, when I first got saved, I wanted the Holy Ghost more than I wanted a raise. I wanted the Holy Ghost more than I wanted a vacation. I was afraid to miss church, afraid I'd miss the night. Amen. I didn't want to miss nothing. And I didn't just want the Holy Ghost. I wanted all he could do once he got inside of me. Praise God, in me and through me. Praise the Lord. I was hungry for God. I would work till 8 o'clock and get home at 8 o'clock at night. Oh, but we were going to a Pentecostal church. It didn't matter that it was 8 o'clock. Anybody else getting home at 8 o'clock said there ain't no need going. They're already done. I get home at 8 o'clock and said I'll get there when it's just getting cranked up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd get there at 8:30. Praise God. And guess what? It was just getting cranked up. They might be having an altar call at 8:30, but that don't mean nothing. Amen. As soon as they're done praying at the altar, somebody's going to start singing and rejoicing over the people that came to the altar. And when they start singing and rejoicing, it's going to crank up all over again. Can you say amen? One night we came out at 11:30, 11:45. We walked outside the church right by Highway 574. Cars, a few cars still going up and down, coming home from the bars and stuff. We're just getting out of church. Can you say amen? And there's about a dozen of us standing outside. And we started reflecting on how good God had been that night and all that he had done that night. Amen. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost came on somebody. They started dancing around in the front yard of the church. Somebody else started shouting the victory in the front yard of the church. Church is starting up outside in front of the church with the door shut. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. What are you talking about, Brother Ben? I'm talking about the things of the Spirit. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Can you say amen? Right in the midst of this falling away, a purpose is being served. My sheep, his sheep. This man said, and he was part of this particular denomination, he said they want to change Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to the essence of light the bearer of light and the transmitter of light. Well, now you're over into something that doesn't signify the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. And come on, you know what Lucifer means? Light bearer. However, when he fell, they quit naming their kids after him. I hope you don't name your kid Lucifer. Amen? There was a bull one time that somebody rode named that. El Diablo, I think, was his name. Light bearer. That anointed cherub that ministered in the presence of God. So let's change the designation of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to the emitter of light, the bringer of light, the bearer of light. And you know what this preacher said? There's part of them that pulled out. He said, you might as well to name them. What is those three ducks that followed Scrooge McDuck? Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That was in the Tampa Tribune. That was in the Tribune. An article in the Tribune. He says, you might as well to call the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost Huey, Dewey, and Louie now. Because they've lost their distinctiveness as the holy persons of the Godhead. And I can't be part of a church that doesn't, that pulls away God's distinctiveness to where anybody can substitute just about any term for the God of the universe. Can you say amen? The world church is just about ready to accommodate all of these people that are losing their distinctiveness. And God is a generic term. Can you say amen? Ah, but God is not a generic term. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. And Jesus, hallelujah, is designated. And the Holy Ghost is designated. Hallelujah. This is a day of keeping your heart. Getting dead serious about your heart. Because the world's going to make a bid for it. There are people that will trade the unadulterated word tonight for a high old time at church right now. The sword is here. In families and homes, husbands and wives are going to disagree about this Jesus and his commitment to him. Sons and daughters going to disagree. My son asked my mother one time when he was doing real good in a band called The Impacts, and they were playing some of the high class bars, so he can have high class drunks appreciate his music. Amen. It's really, you know, you've arrived when you get the high class drunks to give you an applause instead of the low class drunks. Honey, if they're in the bar, they're drinking. And if they stay there long enough, they're going to be drunk. It's not something to brag about. And he asked my mama, says, why don't Dad ever come to hear me play? Duh! I'm not going to endorse it, applaud that. I want him saved. If he became a Nashville star, I don't want to sit in the audience. I want him saved. I don't want him on drugs and alcohol, die before his time. I want him saved and kept by the power of God. My mother said, he'll never do that. If you're expecting him to do that, he'll never do that. You know why? Because there's a separator. I love my son with all of my heart. Pray every day for his salvation. But I love God. And there's something between my son and I. You know what it is? And I pray one day we'll be in full agreement, but right now there's something between my son and I. You know what it is? The cross. I'm crucified to the world that he's embraced, and that world is crucified to me. We will never see eye to eye until he bows to Jesus Christ and his values change. The day they do, oh, what a day that's going to be. But until that happens, he and I are at variance on Amen. He knows I'm right, but he's not ready to make the commitment. But right now, he's appreciating the fact that I'm staying true to God, because he's seen so many people run and quit. Amen. He's glad his daddy and mama are, listen, he's going in for a procedure, and they're looking for something in his intestines. And it's not the procedure that's bothering him. It's what they might find that's been causing the bleeding. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. Right now, he's glad that he's got a daddy and a mama that knows the God of the universe, but it's not enough to have a daddy and mama to pray for you. He needs Jesus in his own heart. Can you say amen? Until he finds Jesus, he and I can never completely be one as father and son. But there's a revival in the book of Joel that I'm hanging on to. Amen. There is a revival coming where the hearts of the... Listen, the real revival is going to touch families. Can you say amen? The hearts of the children are going to turn back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers are going to turn back to the children. God wants to save our household. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah! Brother, would you come today? Number three on here, if you will. Let's do this tonight. Number three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the minister that talked about Paul and the care that came on him daily has a huge church, a huge following, books and tapes, speaks at conferences. As the church was growing and his prominence was growing and the doors were opening, the gospel goes even into Africa. He and I would disagree on some points, I am sure. But this touched me about him. He said, someone said, why aren't you as much fun as you used to be? In other words, he was more lighthearted. He wasn't as serious in the pulpit as he's become. Why aren't you as much fun as you? Because we got preachers that grin through the whole thing, never weep, never get serious about souls, heaven, hell, or any other of the true issues of life and eternity. He said, because what I'm seeing in the church, mine and the church at large, is not funny. Serious. Now that came on Paul has come on him. He really cares about the church. People who don't care, they get your money, they get you to build their symbol of success, they don't care about your soul. And when the pressure gets on, what happens to the hireling? Them that are in it, they run, they flee. When the wolf comes, if they're about to get bit, put themselves in jeopardy, let the sheep get eat up. Amen. But the good shepherd is different. He lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, he says, if you're going to touch them, you're going to have to touch me first. Whatever it costs me, I'm going to cover them. Can you say amen? I'm glad for a good shepherd king. Aren't you glad for a good shepherd king tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, he's my soul's delight. I've never found anything in this world that can take the place of what Jesus is to me. Praise God. I want to get closer to him in these last days, not drift away with the crowd. I want to be part of those that are drawing very, very close to Jesus tonight. Will you stand to your feet? Are you glad you came tonight? Do you feel a challenge to get closer to God? I want to know, you, how many feel a challenge to get close and stay close to God tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Just bring that up. Let's worship him just before we leave. Let's worship him tonight. Hallelujah.